In the classic 1959 movie Anatomy of a Murder, where James Stewart plays an aw-shucks small-town lawyer, there is a scene in which Stewart's bourbon-besotted aw-shucksier elder law partner gazes longingly one evening at a shelf full of uniform beige tomes known as reporters. These books report in the form of judicial opinions the results of certain, mostly appellate cases. Because they are attractive, plain, and convey a sense of gravity, reporters appear on shelves of all manner of fictional offices, legal and otherwise. Hank, genial DEA agent and Breaking Bad's most tragic figure, for some reason has a row of reporters on his office shelf. This is never explained, but I assume it is so he and Gomi could brush up on Terry versus Ohio before rousting meth heads. Why the U.S. reports, the official reporter of the Supreme Court, are on the shelf of Stewart's backwater Michigan lawyer home office is also not explained, but they are brought to our attention when his law partner refers to them as, quote, a lily, a rose, a sweet lupin, unquote. The aroma of old law books, I'm in a position to know, is nothing of the sort. But even as literature, which is how this must have been meant, the language of Supreme Court opinions only rarely rises to the level of a lily. Mostly, I would call it muddy-smelling, like marigolds. And according to a recent Harvard Law Review article by Richard Lazarus, the language in Supreme Court opinions might also be, well, fluid. At a dismaying pace, Supreme Court opinions are amended after, sometimes well after, they have been handed down. That is, until an opinion is physically published in the United States reports, it is subject to amendment, because the time between initial release of the first paper copy and the final publication of the opinion in the reporter can be 5 years. A great many people, not to mention lower courts, have come to rely on an opinion whose language might well change. Of course, most of these corrections are typographical, but many are factual and some are substantive. For instance, Lazarus notes a 1992 case in which Justice White's opinion for the court, published first in a commercial reporter, contained a sentence that starts with the words, "It is illogical to think that some percentage." By the time of the official reporting of the case, that sentence had been changed to read, "It is logical to think that some percentage." In another instance, a sentence from Justice O'Connor's concurrence in the 2003 case Lawrence versus Texas, a sentence important enough to have been studied by scholars and included in case books, disappeared before the official version was printed in the U.S. reports. Now, for people familiar with government resources, the idea that later printed versions might not be faithful to actual occurrences will not seem strange. The Congressional Record, for instance, has notoriously been an unreliable source of what actually happened in Congress, a pattern that neither began nor ended when, in October 1972, the daily publication printed in its pages the important speech Louisiana Congressman Hale Boggs supposedly gave on the floor of the House of Representatives some 2 days after he died in a plane crash. Of course, no one, or at least no one you want to have a conversation with, reads the Congressional Record. But Supreme Court opinions, as you might have heard, actually matter. And thanks to Lexis and Westlaw, they matter widely and immediately. But worse than the later amending, according to Lazarus, is that the court not only doesn't inform people of the changes, but makes them hard to find. A fact that fairly well guarantees at some point there will be misinterpretation by people who hang their legal lives on what we used to think was the precise, well-stated, and permanent opinion of the Supreme Court. I'm Travis McDade.